I want to take this conversation to the future now, where because the space is evolving. There are a lot of things happening. There's ChatGPT, there's Metaverse, there's AR, VR. Of course, we've been hearing these things for the past few years now. But Web3, now, what is UX? Now, interesting things that I've noticed, observations. I've seen Instagram ads. We will make you a UX, AR UX designer. We will make you a VR UX designer. How to become a VR ready UX designer. Now, people are using these to sell, right? People are using these to sell because now the thought behind it, there is, that is where the industry is heading, right? That is where I think Facebook has been working on it for past few years, and they've invested a lot of money. Meta has done a lot of work in it.
Like yesterday was their most like high they have gone in the last 10 years. Like their shares went investment. I'm like, it's a little bit paying off for them now.
Yeah. So a lot of investment. Now we are sure shot headed that way.
Coming to future of design, right? Well, there's always future in design. There's always something new and upcoming, right? Like there's no stop of relation. Like if you take AR, AR, you use it every day. You won't realize it. All your Instagram face filters, you know, these background replacement, they are AR tech.
Yeah.
Right? It's just that we need to understand when we talk about AR, MR and VR.
Right.
These are all like, you know, what do you say? Realities, different realities, what we call it. AR is augmented reality, which is basically you perceive, you take real life, you superimpose something on that real life, you try to expand that experience via a medium. Like there's still a medium. Like you have a cell phone, you have a laptop, somewhere you can interact with that. Right? And then we have MR, which is mixed reality.
Right.
So under mixed reality, you have like Google Glasses, all these, your smart goggles. They are all mixed reality where they are projecting things on your reality and they are tracking your, you know, whole motion and then functioning accordingly. So it's still a blend of real life and, you know, the superimposed image.
Right.
Just that the experience is a little bit more deeper than a AR app.
Right.
Because AR, you are still on a screen, but with MR, it's directly in front of your eye and you are able to interact it, even not physically, but, you know, it's still more tangible. So the level of experience a user will go through is a little bit higher in MR. And when we go to VR, it's like, you are replacing your whole reality with something new altogether. So that's like full immersion. So that's why VR is called like, you know, immersive technology. And that's the whole reason that, you know, someone will get completely engrossed in it. It all depends on how you define it. And that's the highest level of experience a user can get right now.
Yeah.
Like with the current tech, there might be, you know, future. I don't know if you would have seen like Ender's Game, not Ender's Game, Ready Player One.
Yeah, I've seen. Spielberg, right?
Yeah, Spielberg.
Spielberg, yeah.
It's like, that is a future that will come in eventually, where you have a full dive suit and, you know, you have machineries where you just put in and you live in the game world.
Yeah.
Virtual world.
If I have to quote an anime, Ready Player One.
Like Ready Player One is this one.
Oh, sorry, Sword Art Online.
Yes.
Yeah, Sword Art Online. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the thing, right? Like we have like on the anime side, we have like all these stories going on, like the isekai and the you know, online platforms, all these games, worlds.
Yes.
Right? But it's all about your experience, your design. Like doesn't matter for AR, MR, or VR. We need to understand we are designing for a space. It's not a flat screen. You are not going to interact with a flat screen here. right? There's a sense of depth. There's a sense of, you know, movement, which is much more than just things sliding in, sliding out. Right. So with each medium, it becomes deeper and deeper with VR being fully immersive. Right. Sometimes, like, you would have seen all these videos where, you know, people are wearing VR gears and they are fighting and so they suddenly jump on the TV.
Yeah.
Right. It's that immersive because I've tried, like, we have an Oculus Quest 2. I've tried that. And, you know, it's like it confuses your mind sense. I can tell you, like, you know, there's so much, like, you just sometimes you feel like, okay, what is happening? You can feel dizzy also. It's that because your brain is not used to it. It's not used to, like, suddenly taken from one place and changing the sense of direction and movement, right?
Right.
So that's where this comes in. So designing for AR, MR, and VR is all about designing for space and understanding in a spatial way how people will interact. And one of the best things I like in this is if you are actually a gamer, you already have that understanding. Because when you play games like all these 3D games, when you jump in, right? Especially if you play like first person game, it's already an immersive environment. You know, okay, if I click here, something will pop up. If I open this object, something will come in. Right, you're just enhancing that and bringing it, making it more real time, I would say. Right, so that is like on the AR VR part. So we need to understand space, sound, camera movements, because now you don't have a screen to restrict your user to move around. Right, on a screen, they will just go from okay, slide up, slide down, or exit the app. Right, you have other things where your space is the canvas. You can't have like too many controls distracting the user from the main canvas.
Right.
Right. That's why if you look at like, you know, whoever's looking at AR apps, all this Google interaction, once you open the AR view, like Amazon has started now, like even Flipkart last year, they started their try-ons, like you can check out the furniture and objects in your room. Amazon also recently started. Whenever you go into that mode, you only see the minimum amount of control that is required, because to give you that sense of space, they need to make sure there are no distractions.
True.
Right? That's where this technology comes in. So if you understand this concept of space, sound, and storytelling with, you know, movement, these technologies, you can dwell into these technologies. And recently, right, I've been looking at, I've been talking to a lot of architects who've been changing, you know, from architecture to UX, UI, because, well, that's how their industry has been going on. And, you know, they want to switch in and get better opportunities. And that's it. I tell, I'm like, you guys have a sense of space. You understand more than anyone else. Like, when, like, even at Diwami, when we say we are hiring UX designer, we don't necessarily hire from a design school.
Yeah.
An engineer also works because we work with like complex projects. Yeah. So someone who's from an engineering background will understand the concept in a much better manner. Like I still come from animation background. So for me to understand a data integration project, I'm like, first I need to understand what is data integration? What are the things that go in?
Yeah.
Right. That code part, I might not even get my head around it. Right? I will just understand, okay, what is the concept? As long as I understand enough to design, that's okay.
Yeah.
Right. So with AR, VR, it's more of understanding of space. Right. And there are courses. See, there are courses out there. But we also, and I feel AR, VR is like, from my perspective, is nothing but like you're just making games a reality.
Yeah.
You are making everything clickable.
True.
Right? True. Everything interactive and you can add in more elements to life. And then we have Web3, which is a parallel. Right? See, AR, VR, MR, all these are contributing to a concept called Metaverse, which is like, I'm saying it's a vision. It's still not fulfilled. The whole idea is like, if you take, if anyone is like interested, they can watch the Ready Player One movie. They will understand what we are calling as metaverse, where the whole idea of metaverse is, right now, if you know, all our games and applications, they are simulations in a smaller scale. Like we work, like, you know, let's say PUBG, which is like one of the most common. PUBG actually runs on servers.
Yeah.
So it's not like every player is playing in the same space. It's a simulation run for a group of people in one, you know, confined space. And this simulation repeats itself. Right? That's the whole concept of metaverse, is that it's a real-time simulation happening globally.
Yeah.
So it's literally like another Earth in a digital space.
Yeah.
So whatever you do there will stay permanent, which is a long-term thing. Like it's still a long way to achieve, because, well, as technology is improving and everything is coming in, and it's good to know that. It's good to understand that. But we also need to understand metaverse coming to a regular Indian market is going to take a lot of time.
Yeah.
Right. Like, one, it all depends on the devices. It all depends on the public who's comfortable with it.
Yeah.
Right. It's not going to be your regular tier two, tier three cities are not going to use metaverse.
Yeah.
Let me be frank. Like, you know, it's because for them, they won't see the point of it. Like, why do I need to put in and how do I increase? Like, for them, they are just getting accustomed to mobile and, you know, the computers, and getting, like, they are increasing their more maturity in technology right now. AR and VR is going to be much more overloaded.
True.
Right? So that is the case. And we need to understand, okay, if you are doing AR and VR, which are the companies who are working in it? Like, there's GeoTesseract and there are some other companies, but it's not a lot of companies who are there. Right. And what are the markets? Like, right now, all this AR, VR is heavily used in, you know, your education, because that's where it helps students visualize the concept easily.
Yeah.
Right. They can see, they can interact with things. It helps them learn better. And on other parts, it's, you know, with the enterprise and factories and all, where it's helping people train faster. Like, even doctors are able to now do, like, there are applications where they can train in certain operations by using a VR application.
Yeah.
Right. It's like they're polishing their skills. That's, I would say. So we need to, like, whoever is looking into getting into this, they need to understand, okay, which are the industries is impactful, which companies are doing, and what is the basic requirement?
Yeah.
Right. See, I've tried designing a AR experience myself. I can design the interaction, but it needs to be developed. Like, I had put my hands on Unity. I could do only so much, because it's so complex. After a point, I was like, yeah, I need someone, some game designer to do it for me.
True.
Right. So I've done that. I've, like, created an app where I can, you know, place things in my room and then make it big, small, or rotate it. Right, click a button, a video will start playing. It's very interesting to see all of it.
Yeah.
And on that front, Web3.
Yeah.
It's a parallel. It's metaverse and Web3 are not the same. People have this conception, misconception, sadly, that it's the same. No. If we look at the history of Web, Web 1.0, where internet started, it was a read-only. Like, people could read. Someone would post somewhere and they could read.
Yeah.
Right. Not everyone was able to, you know, post or do something. We could all just search and, you know, look at things. Web 2.0 came in, where people could read and write. So you could edit your things, you can publish. That's capability. The whole Web 3 is you can read, write, and have ownership of your own data. Right now, if you ask any of the user, like, I'll ask you, you have a LinkedIn profile.
Right.
But do you think you own your LinkedIn profile?
Interesting question.
Not, right? Tomorrow, if LinkedIn decides to shut down.
Yeah. I do not own it.
anything you post on any of these platforms, you are not owning it.
It's yeah, for example, platform. Like look at Orkut.
Yep.
It was there. We used to write scraps.
Scraps. Yes.
Yeah.
Testimonials.
Testimonials. Scraps. Yeah. So it, I mean, it's gone now. So we don't own it. We had profiles on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's where we used to measure people. Hey, how many scraps you have?
Yeah, I know, right?
That was the followers of that time.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. And it's yeah. very like web 2.0. And see, the web 3.0 vision is it's a decentralized dome. Like they want to, web 3 vision is decentralization. It right. means no one owns, like no one power owns it.
Right.
Your data is yours.
Yeah.
Right. Like right now, Facebook shuts down, all your data is gone.
Gone.
You won't
yeah.
have access to your photos or nothing because it's in their property. You are the product they are using to sell advertising, and that's how yeah. they are earning money.
Yeah.
And when it comes to decentralized Web3 with blockchain, the whole idea is whatever you create, whatever you make is still with you.
Hmm.
It is still assigned to you. Like we can get into the details of it, but you know, the whole, even it is complex for me. Like I yeah. still don't understand a lot of things. Like there are a lot many things.
Yeah.
But I would say basically, if I create an asset today, right? I created a toy. And I said, you know what? I will give this toy to a person who owns my digital toy.
Hmm.
So you don't have to buy the physical one. Whoever owns the digital one, they will get the physical toy. Right? Now you created a digital token saying that this is the proof of authenticity.
Right.
Right. See, people say that, you know, one of the examples I give is you can have a picture of Mona Lisa with you. You can click a picture of Mona Lisa, but you don't own Mona Lisa.
Yeah.
Right? The original, the authentic one is with the museum, right? Like that's where, and the creator is Da Vinci. We all know that.
Right.
In Web 2, what happens is sometimes you come across an art.
Yeah.
Which is somewhere you don't even know who created it. But with Web3, the whole idea is you can track things from the time they are generated.
Right.
Right. If I make something, like I have made an NFT series and I have launched it on OpenSea.
Mm-hmm.
Only one person bought it, one of it, and it's still there. That's how the whole thing is. Like the whole part is like the market is flooded with people just making things, right?
Yeah, I know.
People to buy. But whatever I have put as per the Web3 thing is the original thing. Like that's the digital token of ownership. So whoever buys it gets the ownership certificate that you own this. But I am still the creator. Right? So you can sell it. Like it's, if you want to understand Web3 NFTs specifically, you can look at how art dealers work. That's exactly how
yeah.
you know, NFT space works
yeah.
In a more transparent
Absolutely.
Way. In a
Absolutely.
More transparent way.
Absolutely.
But
True.
With the whole Web3 idea is things have to be decentralized.
Mm.
Right? It has to be like you can actually sell your house or vehicle also on Web3. In medical terms, right now if you see like there are a lot of researches go on, right? And they require a lot of patient data. So right now what happens is hospitals who have tie-up might give your data with your authority. They take sign-up, but you don't know what is happening with that data. But with Web3, whoever the research lab is can directly request you what data they want, and you can enable only the data that you want to give.
Right.
You can say, hey, I will give you this data and you can use it, but I am still the owner of that data.
Yeah.
Right. Anytime True. I feel I don't want, I can, you know, retract it.
Yeah.
Right. But
beautiful.
That whole tech, it's a vision. Like it's a
yeah.
long-term thing. It's not there yet. Like what yeah. people have visualized, but it's growing. Yeah. And that's how any technology, you know, takes time to, what do you say, bloom?
Evolve and bloom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, it's one space. Like right now also with the whole NFT space, with all the mergers and all, there are still conflicts because still things are centralized in a manner.
Yeah.
Not fully decentralized.
Yeah.
But the place where Web3 and Metaverse comes into, you know, they merge together is how Metaverse wants a a whole simulation to run, and that is decentralization can help it.
Mm.
So let's say you play games, right? Mm. In every games, we get like our outfits, weapons and everything.
Yes.
But are you able to transfer from one game to another? No.
No.
But what if you own an NFT, which you can transfer from one platform to another? Like, it's seamless.
Yeah.
That's where the Metaverse and Web3 space comes in.
Yeah. True.
And that's how, like, people are doing it. Like, you see, like, there's a Roblox is a platform where Nike and Zara, they have established their digital stores. Digital spaces where people can experience the brand.
Mm.
See, it's still for people who are a little bit more, you know, friendly with technology and who like experimenting.
Yeah.
But eventually it will, like, there are efforts already to make it more practical.
Mm. Right. Interesting. I think you've pretty much explained it in very simple terms. Whoever watches
it's a lot complex, I would say, once you get it.
Yeah.
It's mind-boggling, but yeah, that's basic. I boiled it down to.
I know. But I think you've done it beautifully. It's like, you know, breaking it into pieces and just making them understand the basics of these things so that they understand what is happening right now and what is going to happen in future. So an interesting space for a designer to be, especially when we create things. So we'll be creating for something that is not existing now and evolving. So I think the power that we have becomes much more, the value of it increases as a creator, as a designer, right? So that's amazing way to end this discussion.